Let's turn to the Bible to our text for this morning. Matthew chapter 2. Matthew 2, verse 1 through 12. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 through 12. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the Great, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'For thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor, and shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, and said, 'Go and search diligently for this young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also.' When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." Please keep your Bible open to Matthew chapter 2. And here we have the account of the wise men. The wise men from the east. Are you wise men and wise women? I'm sure we want to be wise in this world. We want to be wise in Christ and to Christ. Wisdom is something very good. Wisdom is something very precious. And we should endeavor to seek wisdom, to gain wisdom. It is not enough just to have knowledge. We need to know how to apply knowledge correctly and appropriately, in the right way, at the right time. And this calls for wisdom. How we need wisdom? Where can we find wisdom? Surely it is from God's Word. The wise words of God in the Holy Scriptures. And there's much we can learn also from the wise men from the east that went to visit, and not just to visit, but to worship wisdom himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago. So we want to learn how to be wise from the wise men of the east, the wise men of Christmas. And there are three things I want to bring to your attention, how to be wise in and to Christ. And the three points are this: we must be wise to seek the Lord, we must be wise to worship the Lord, and we want to be wise to obey the Lord and His Word. These are the three points for this morning. Firstly, let us be wise to seek the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 2, we read, the wise men coming from the east to Jerusalem, and then they ask this question: where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. Now we are told that these wise men, and in the original is the word magoi or magi, and they have come from the east. Who were these men? Now we are told that they came from the east, that is east of Jerusalem, east of Israel, and most likely they come from the land of Persia. They were Persian wise men, Persian scientists and philosophers, perhaps also kings and priests. And here we are told that they came to seek the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is a very good and wise thing to do. Now they came all the way from the east, from Persia. And please know that Persia, once upon a time, was a great empire. In fact, it was a superpower. The Medo-Persian Empire was the superpower of the world, of the known world, after the Babylonian Empire under Nebuchadnezzar fell. You know that there was the Babylonian Empire. It fell. God judged the empire, and God said another empire will arise after the Babylonian Empire, and that was the Medo-Persian Empire. It came into being, it came into existence, it conquered the Babylonian Empire, it became a world power. And God already predicted how the Medo-Persian Empire will be very friendly and very kind to the Jews. For in the days of Babylon, God chastised the nation of Israel, the nation of Judah, because they had sinned against God. They had committed idolatry. They had worshipped other gods instead of their God, the living and true God, who is spirit, who is invisible. And God sent his prophets time and time again, come back to me, repent of your ways. Don't worship all these other gods, which are no gods at all. You know I'm the living and true God who delivered you out of Egypt. You saw my power to destroy the might of Egypt, defeated all the gods of Egypt, delivered you with a powerful hand, opened the Red Sea, kept you in the wilderness, fought for you in the promised land, and now you dwell safely. You saw my power, and they soon forgot the Lord who had delivered them. And then went a whoring, seeking, loving other gods, which made God, of course, very, very angry. But the Lord was so patient and so long-suffering, sent his servants, the prophets, to preach to them, to rebuke them, and then to call them to repentance. But each time they killed the prophets, one after the other, came to a point in time God says, enough is enough. I'm going to judge. You will be taken out of the promised land. You will be removed, and I will send you into exile, into Babylon. Indeed, Nebuchadnezzar came, destroyed the city of Jerusalem, razed the temple to the ground, and the Jews spent 70 years in Babylon, as God had predicted. But God said, after I punish you and chastise you, once you are sanctified, I will raise up another kingdom, and I will also raise up my shepherd. And God also gave the name of the king, the Persian king, who will come, who will rise up to let the Jews return to go back to the Holy Land, to Jerusalem, to rebuild the walls. And that you can read in Isaiah chapter 44 and 45, 150 years before even Cyrus came into existence. God already predicted King Cyrus of Persia will arise. He will be my shepherd, and he will let you go, return back to the promised land to rebuild the walls. And this happened precisely as God has said in 445 BC, the decree was issued, and the Jews returned to rebuild the temple. God is true to his word. Right? And so this is the context. This was the connection. Why there were these wise men who wanted to seek the truth and know the truth, to look for this Savior, the living and true God, who is to come, because he was someone very, very special. They could see this. And they were far away from Israel. They were in Persia, which is modern-day Iran. So far away, and how come they thought of this Messiah, this special person who is going to be born in the land of Israel, and wanted to come to see him and to worship him? How did they have this idea or this thought that there would be this special child that would be born? Surely this did not come from their own imagination. Their knowledge did not exist in a vacuum. How did they know about this child that was to be born? Now, you know that the Jews spend 7 years in exile in Babylon, and later on, even when the Medo-Persian Empire took over and the Jews returned back to Jerusalem, not all returned, right, to Jerusalem. There were those who remained behind, and those who were remnant Jews, who were, of course, by that time believing in the Holy Scriptures. They believed and were persuaded by that time, through the many prophecies of the Old Testament, that their Messiah, their Savior, would come. And also, by that time, the prophecies of Daniel would have been written down and become scripture. And the remnant Jews remaining behind in the land of their captivity, plus now dwelling safely in the midst of friendly foreigners. And Daniel, for instance, by the time the Medo-Persian Empire took over, he was still there. He didn't return. There was no record of Daniel or his three friends returning back to the promised land. They remained behind. In fact, in the Medo-Persian Empire, Daniel occupied an important government position. So he also, although he was an elderly statesman by that time, Daniel, the princely prophet, continued to testify for the Lord. And those who were Bible-believing, who were looking forward to the Messiah to come, they surely must have evangelized and preached the gospel to the Persians, to the Medes and the Persians. And thank the Lord, the children sang, "Go tell it on the mountain, Jesus Christ will be born." Well, they told that wonderful prophecy. The Savior would be born. Not only our Savior, he is also your Savior if you will believe. And then there was also the scriptures they could read and refer to. And these wise men were seeking for the truth, for the Savior. And they read the scriptures, they heard the gospel. Christ must come, this Jewish Messiah, and we want to know him and we want to worship him. We want to believe in him. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And these wise men had the faith because they heard the word, they read the word, they studied the word, and they were diligently seeking for the truth. Did they find the truth? They found the truth. The Bible says, if we seek the Lord, we will find him. God wants to be found. We are lost men without Christ. And how God has found us, he has come to save us, and he wants us to find him as well. And we seek him with all our heart, we will find him. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Ask and and you will receive the answer. It will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be answered. It will be opened unto you. This is the kind of God we have. He wants to give us liberally the wisdom that we need. And he does not upbraid or chide. You ask him, sincerely and humbly, God or Lord, I want to know you. Please reveal to me who you are. And God directs you to His Word. God directs you to a place where the Word of God is preached and expounded faithfully. And you continue to seek His truth, His way, His wisdom. And the Spirit will lead and guide you and direct you and teach you, just like the wise men from the East. They were truly wise because they went to the right place to seek wisdom, to seek the truth. And they asked a good and sincere question. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? Where is he that is born King of the Jews? It's a good question. They knew the King of the Jews will be born from the prophecy of the Scriptures. And where is he? You know, asking questions is good. You want knowledge, you want wisdom. If you are the seeker of truth, you would want to ask questions. And I'm thankful that Elder Joseph this morning in Sunday school taught the students you need to ask the right questions. Don't ask the wrong questions. You ask the wrong questions, you get wrong answers. You ask the right questions, you get the right answer. And they ask a good question, a right question. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? They knew he would come. But from where? Now we know that in the prophecies of Daniel, God revealed through Daniel the 70 weeks. The prophecy of the 70 weeks, and then it is stated that in the 69th week, Messiah will be cut off. Meaning Messiah would come, born of the Virgin, and eventually will be crucified. He will come. It refers to his first coming. 69 weeks. And by this time, it's about 483 years. 69 weeks is 483 years. And it is about time. So it was not out of a vacuum, out of emptiness in their own imagination, they were asking this question. They believed in the prediction and the prophecy of Scripture, and it's about time that the Savior should come. The Messiah would be born. Where? So they went all the way to Jerusalem to seek Him. And yes, when you ask the right question, you get the right answer. And the Lord will show them the way. And also take note that they went to Jerusalem to worship Him. Now for us, I'm sure we are here to seek the Lord Jesus Christ as well, to know Him more and more, and to live for Him. And I pray that we make a concerted effort. And if we have not already done so, please do so. To study God's Word systematically and intensively. Invest your time, your energy in the Word of God and to gain His wisdom. Have we done this? Have we been truly wise? Or is it just on Sunday we come, open the Bible, hear the preaching, and then go back and do nothing? I pray you are keeping your daily devotions, which is good. But more than that, we need to feed on the meat of God's Word. Don't just drink the milk. And the Lord has blessed us with a school of prophets, the Far Eastern Bible College, which is also open for you to come and study God's Word together with us, where we will plunge into the depths and the riches of Holy Scripture and know the jots and tittles of the principles of our faith, so that we might practice our faith most wisely and most correctly. Have we been studying God's Word? FEBC is going to open again soon. And we have two night classes, Monday and Thursday nights. come and study God's word. And you will not regret them. Many, many who will testify to you that coming to the night classes to study God's word has been a joy and a delight. And the people who come to study have seen their lives change because they come sincerely. They come humbly, seeking, asking, seeking, knocking, and they find answers to important questions of life. And if they have been confused, the Lord clarifies His truth in their hearts and their minds. And they are very, very happy. And then they find their lives being changed. Yes, the Lord says, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. And I'm thankful that our young people have a serious mind. And I think it's very wise for them, especially those who have just completed their GCE A-level exams, and now they are waiting for their results, waiting to enter the university. They have quite a number of months, they're free, and they say, we will come to FEBC to study God's word and to earn the certificate. That's a wise decision. Those who have been offered jobs here and there, of course they would have the option to go and work and make some money. But they say, well, I think it's more important for me to study God's word. So I'm going to use the remaining months that I have to study the Bible. Come to FEBC. I think that's the best decision, a wise decision. The wise men from the East wanted to see Jesus, to learn from Him, to gain this wisdom. And then also to worship Him. So we must seek Him in His Word, and then once we know Him, we must worship Him. It's foolishness to seek the Lord and after having found Him, reject Him, deny Him. It's foolish. Once you seek Him and you are found of Him, you must worship Him. That is the correct response, which will gain you a blessing from the Lord. So they came to worship the Lord. In verse 2, their purpose was to worship Him. For we have seen His star in the east and are come to worship Him. Now the word worship here is significant. The word worship here in the Greek proskuneo literally means to prostrate oneself. It means it's when they worship Him, it means literally they will fall on their knees. And not just fall on their knees in worship, they would also lie flat on the ground, face to the ground, in total humility and subjection in worship of God. This kind of a posture is reserved only for the worship of God. They say, we have come to worship Him. It's not just paying respect, all right, paying our respects to Him or just showing Him regard. No, they came for this purpose. They want to fall down and prostrate themselves to the ground to worship this baby, this child to be born, who they know it is Emmanuel, God with us, God Himself. They have come to worship Him. That is wisdom. If you worship the living and true God, that is wisdom, because that will lead to salvation, eternal life. And what greater gift is that? No greater gift. You may have received many presents, but I'm sure by the end of next year you might have forgotten what you have received. And the gift you have gotten may have also disappeared or broken down. But this gift, If you are wise, you worship the Lord, the gift of salvation will last for eternity, forever. But you must come worshiping the Lord in order to receive this gift. That is wisdom. Don't be foolish like Herod. You know, Herod also asked the question, where? He demanded where, you know, Christ would be born. And he asked his chief priests and scribes, a whole lot of them, all these religious leaders and their scholars and their theologians, and he asked his religious leaders where Christ will be born. And these Jewish theologians knew their scriptures, and then they said, well, the Bible tells us in Micah 5 verse 2, written about 500 years, all right, before this time, says he will be born in Bethlehem of Judea, for it is written by the prophet, and thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor, a king that shall rule my people Israel. So Bethlehem, a literal, of course, reading and understanding of that prophecy. In Bethlehem, God gave even the address in Bethlehem. So he'll be born in Bethlehem. But Herod was foolish. He wanted to find Jesus, not to worship him, but to kill him, to destroy him. It's foolish to be very proud, to think that, you know, we want power and position, and if anyone were to threaten my kingship, he must die. Well, that was Herod. Proud and wicked, evil Herod, who wanted to protect and worship himself. He didn't want to worship Jesus. He wanted to destroy Jesus so that no one would challenge his position. What a foolish thing to do. You cannot fight God and win. Be like the wise men who came seeking to worship Jesus instead of destroying Jesus. And so we know this of Herod because of what he said in verses 3 to 8, and then finally in verse 16. Look at what he did. He went on a murderous rampage. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, because the wise men didn't come to give him the precise, all right, house number or apartment number where Jesus would be, and he was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and all the coves thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. And you know, when you, and if we seek Jesus in such a way, some people study God's word not to be helped by God, not to learn from God. They study the Bible to cast doubt on the truth of God, to cause people to deny and to reject God, to disbelieve in the scriptures, to criticize the Bible. They want to cut the Bible and tear into pieces. There are those who call themselves Bible scholars who do such a thing. They are like proud Herod, not seeking to worship the Lord, but to destroy the Lord. But when you seek to do this, know that you yourself, you're on your own path to destruction. It is self-destructive to seek God like this. And Herod, he died soon after he did this. God judged him. The Lord Jesus was born in 5 BC. Herod, when did he die? Herod the Great died in 4 BC. Just a year after, shortly, right, before the year ended, before the year was over, he died. The Lord judged him soon after, and he died of a very terrible and painful disease. The punitive will of God here. You fight God, you will surely be defeated. If you come to worship God, he will heal you. He will save you. There's wisdom in worshiping God, because when we worship God, he will give us life. But when you seek to destroy God, and you think you can, in your proud mind and heart, you think you can, you find yourself being destroyed. You find that you will be facing death in the face. And that was what happened to Herod. He died. Just a year later, after Christ was born,
the Lord judge him.
Don't play the fool with God. Be wise to Christ by worshipping him. By worshipping him. So seek him and seek him sincerely. Then worship him. Kowtow to him. Prostrate yourself in humility to him and you will live. That is wisdom. And then the third thing here is this. But before I talk about the third thing, well, one more thing here with regard to worship. The wise men worshiped the Lord with their gifts. Right? It was not just lip service that they paid, but they also worshiped the Lord with their deeds. They brought these gifts. And the gifts were very meaningful. I'm sure they paid a lot of attention. They thought through, right, what kind of gifts they ought to give to Jesus. Gifts must be meaningful. And it shows also their understanding. It also shows what they thought of Jesus and how they ought to relate to him. Now, so the three gifts you know very well are gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, when they presented gold to Jesus, gold is a symbol of royalty, of kingship. Jesus is king. They understood that from biblical prophecy. We have come to see the King of the Jews, to worship him. So they present him with gold because you are king. And also, not just king, we want you to be king in our lives. We have come to worship you. We have come to enthrone you in our lives. So are we presenting also, when we come this morning and every Lord's Day for worship, do we come to present gold to the Lord Jesus, acknowledging he is king? King also of our lives. Lord of our lives. There are people who say, I believe in Jesus as my Savior, but I don't want him to be my king, to lord over me. That is foolishness. That's not wise. Or they may come. Yes, Jesus is Lord only at this hour. From 10:30 to 12, he is Lord. I enthrone him. But once I step out of church, outside in the world, I dethrone him. No more. We have become totally different. And Christ cannot be seen in our lives. That is foolishness. The wise man did not worship the Lord like this. Yes, Jesus is my Savior. He's also my King. I present gold to him. And I enthrone him in my life forevermore. Frankincense. Frankincense is pure incense, which is given and offered to God. Right, to God. So they are teaching us, they are telling, we understand that Jesus that is born of the Virgin is none other than God himself, Emmanuel, God with us. So we come to worship him because he is God. Do you believe Jesus is God? God manifest in the flesh? We must. And then also, myrrh. Myrrh is perfume. Perfume. Sweet smelling and often used to prepare the corpse for burial. Right? And so when they present Jesus with myrrh, they also understood that this baby, this child, Jesus, was born to die for their sins. He is going to face death. Death not because of anything or any wrong that he would do, he was sinless and perfect. It is, he is going to die for you and for me, for us, for our sins, to pay that penalty that we so deserve, which is death. The wages of sin is death. And Jesus would go to the cross to die for our sins and shed his precious blood and be raised from the dead. So myrrh speaks of the Lord's sacrifice. They understood this is the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world, and we've come to worship him in all these ways. And when you worship the Lord in such a way, you will find eternal life, which the wise men obtained and received when they did this. They were wise indeed. That's why they were wise men. Will you not be wise like this? Offer to Christ gold, frankincense, myrrh. Worship him as King and Lord of your life. Worship him as God who has become man to die for our sins on the cross, our perfect sacrifice, and then you will live. And then thirdly, we are to obey Him. Obey Him. Obedience is so important and so needed today. In verse 12, we find their obedience. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Right. So they were warned of God. Don't go back to report to Herod. And they immediately, without any question, obeyed God. Herod was a king. I mean, they could have been very afraid. If we don't do what Herod says, he may send his Gestapo, secret police, to hunt us down. Oh, we are afraid of our lives. And then Herod, also a great king, very powerful, a lot of money. If we go back, maybe he will reward us, or, you know, do us a favor and give us, you know, make us rich. No, they were not men pleasers. They were God fearers. They obeyed God. And they obeyed Him totally. He went another way. Do we obey God enough and in such a way? There's wisdom in obedience, obeying the commandments of God He has given to us. And when we seek His will, we will find His will, which is found in His word. And once we know it, let us worship the Lord. And worship is the mother of all virtues, is the saying. And once we are sanctified, then there must be this holy desire to obey God and obey Him fully and also immediately. This Christmas, what have you given to the Lord? The Lord is not asking for your money. I mean, we have given our thanksgiving offerings and our tithes and our love gifts to the Lord. But more importantly, God wants our heart. In the new year, we may have done foolish things in the year that has just gone by. Don't repeat those foolish things. Do that which is wise. Learn from the wise men. Let us begin, really, to seek the Lord, to worship Him, and to obey Him in the new year that is coming. And when we do all these things, we will be wise in Christ. We will be wise to Christ. So that when Jesus comes back, and He will, and from the signs of the times, we know He's coming back very soon, maybe next year, who knows. But when He comes, whenever He comes, we will be ready to meet Him. We will be wise men. And we will not be ashamed. So remember these three things. Seek the Lord, worship the Lord, obey the Lord. And may we do so from today. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. Grant us the wisdom that we need. Help us to walk in the ways and the paths of truth. This we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.